Heavenly Father, reveal your wisdom to us through your word. By your Holy Spirit, open our hearts to hear your voice and draw us closer to our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So last Saturday, I found myself in St. Paul's Cathedral in London with Tracy and our son Michael, attending Evensong and sitting in those beautiful choir stalls at the front of the cathedral. A wonderful setting. But it was a setting for quite an important lesson. And the first lesson was drawn from Job 28, where we hear these words: "The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to shun evil is understanding." That question of true wisdom lies at the heart of our reading today. Jesus is teaching us that what God is really looking for, not merely outward religion, but a transformed heart, that heart that we found mentioned in the first two songs today, that transformed heart. And indeed, the central question in this passage is simply this: where is your heart? And of course, what he does is place two contrasting scenes side by side. At first, the crowds come to Jesus seeking mercy and healing. Yeah, then the Pharisees come seeking faults and failures. One group comes in faith, the other comes in criticism. One knows its need, and the other is convinced of its own righteousness. And through both scenes, Jesus teaches what truly matters to God. The first scene takes place at Gennesaret, up on the northwest coast of the Sea of Galilee. As soon as Jesus arrives, the people recognize him, and news spreads quickly, and the sick are brought from every direction. Families bring loved ones, friends bring neighbors. They come because they believe Jesus can help them. And I think what's here is striking is the simplicity of their faith. They ask only to touch the fringe of his cloak. There's no pretense. There's no claim to spiritual achievement or sense of entitlement. They simply know that they need Jesus. And Matthew tells us that all who touched him were healed. What a wonderful picture that presents to us of Jesus. He welcomes the weak. He receives the needy. He never turns away those who come to him in faith. So the crowds at Gennesaret understood something that many people still struggle with today to understand. The first step towards God is recognizing our need of him. The first step towards God is recognizing our need of him. Faith begins not with strength, but dependence. Not with self-confidence, but with trust. Not with saying, "Oh, look what I've done," but, "Lord, I need your help." The healings themselves point beyond physical restoration. Every miracle is a sign of the kingdom of God. They show us what God's world will one day look like when Christ returns. One day there will be no sickness, no suffering, no death. Every healing miracle is a glimpse of that world to come. For those carrying illnesses, grief or anxiety today, that remains our hope. Christ has begun a work of restoration that he will one day complete. But then, as we know, the scene changes dramatically, and the Pharisees arrive from Jerusalem. You can just imagine in the big black cars all turning up, and they challenge Jesus. "Why do your disciples break with the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat." Of course, this is not about hygiene. It concerns ceremonial washing, and perhaps more significantly, man-made religious tradition. Over the centuries, many traditions had developed around God's law. Some were undoubtedly well-intentioned. But gradually, human traditions had begun to carry more weight than God's word itself. Just think of that. So Jesus responds, "Why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition?" And I think he puts his finger on a real issue here. The problem's not dirty hands. The problem's misplaced priorities. The Pharisees had come so concerned with religious observance that they had lost sight of the God they claimed to serve. So Jesus quotes that verse from Isaiah 29. "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." So I suppose those words are unsettling because they remind us that religious activity is not the same as our spiritual reality. A person can say the right words, attend the right services, perform the right duties while remaining distant from God. And if that was possible then, sadly it remains possible now. But before we criticize the Pharisees too quickly, we should recognize that Jesus is speaking to every generation of believers. It's entirely possible to become familiar with Christian things while neglecting Christ himself. We know the old familiar hymns. We know the liturgy. We know the customs and traditions of church life. Yet our hearts drift away from God. Of course, the jeopardy here is especially real where we've been serving faithfully for generations. Tradition is a wonderful thing, a wonderful servant, but a terrible master. We should treasure the rich inheritance that we have received, but those gifts exist to lead us to Christ, not to replace him. Jesus is not asking whether we appear religious. He's asking whether we know truly God and love him. Because God has always been concerned with the heart. Samuel, 1 Samuel 16, we hear, "People look at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart." And that influential medieval theologian Thomas Aquinas said, Man sees the deed, but God sees the intention. And of course, that remains true today. And it's a real problem here. So Jesus then takes the discussion even deeper. The Pharisees believed that defilement came from external things. And Jesus teaches that the real problem is within. It's not what enters a person that makes them unclean. It is what comes out. The problem is the human heart. It was a shocking teaching then, and of course is very challenging for us today. Most of us prefer to think that our deepest problems come from circumstances around us. But Jesus says the root problem lies within us. Sin has affected every human heart. Many see the privileges of Christian life, but fewer accept the responsibilities of that life. Because the problem is internal, external religion cannot solve it. What we need is not merely better behavior, but a new heart. That's why Christianity is more than a moral improvement. If you're like me, you've probably read every life improvement book written by a best-selling New York Times author ever. I've read them all. The only one that counts is the Bible. And that's why Christianity is more than moral improvement. It's about transformation. It's about God changing us from the inside out to the work of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, for which we listen and pray. And that brings us to the cross. Because if our deepest problem lies within us, we need more than advice. We need a Savior, the one who exposed the uncleanliness of the human heart, went to the cross to deal with it. Jesus bore our sin and guilt so that we might be forgiven and restored. Our hope is not that we can make ourselves clean. Our hope is that God, that Christ cleanses by his grace. So our confidence is not in our goodness, but in his mercy. The gospel is the wonderful news that God gives new hearts to those who come to him in faith. So in this passage, Matthew has set before us two groups of people. One group recognized the need and came to Jesus. The other trusted in its religion and stood at a distance. One found mercy, true peace, and love. The other missed the point. The question for us is therefore simple. Where is your heart? Are we merely honoring God with our lips, or are we coming to Christ with humble and trusting hearts? May God grant that we are always among those who know our need, who trust his mercy, and who seek him sincerely. For as Jesus has said earlier in Matthew 5, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Amen.